This morning, as we come together to celebrate the birth of Christ the Lord, we turn to the prophet Isaiah and to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to read this morning from verses 2 through verse 7 of this chapter. Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 2. What we hear now is God's word. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Hear we in the reading of God's holy word. Well, children, today is Christmas Day. And if you are like me, you have been looking forward to this day. It is a day that we have looked forward to as a church as well. As for the last several weeks, we have talked about the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. We saw that sign of Emmanuel was given so many years ago as a reminder that God would be with his people and would dwell with them. We saw that expressed in the kingship in David as God having his anointed rule over his people. And today we celebrate the coming of God's own Son, Jesus Christ, who came to be Emmanuel, God with us, a child born, a child given as a blessing to the people of God. We're going to look this morning at Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah helps us to rejoice in the coming of this child. We often think of the prophets as bringing something of a message of doom and gloom, warning of the coming judgment that God would send. But in Isaiah 9, we hear the call to joy, the call to praise, the call to rejoice because of what God would do. He would send a child. He would send his son. He would send Emmanuel, God with us. This joy is like people who are walking in darkness, and suddenly there's a big light. Maybe, children, sometimes your mom and dad ask you to go to the basement or out to the garage to go get something. Now, in our garage, we don't have any electricity, so it's dark out there at night. And can you imagine walking to the garage and trying to find something that mom or dad sent you there for, and it's all dark and you can't find anything? And then, all of a sudden, your brother or sister comes up with a flashlight. Oh, now you can find what you're looking for. Now you can get the job done. Now you can do what mom and dad asked you to do. And you're happy about that because you want to please mom and dad. A people who were walking in darkness have suddenly seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. It's a time to rejoice. It's a time to celebrate. Because God has come to those people who were living in darkness and has let the light of the world shine upon them. You see, without the knowledge of God, our minds are dark. We're living in blackness. We can't truly understand the world around us. Oh, we can maybe get a hint of what it's like. But until we have the light of Christ in our lives, then we can really see, then we can really understand, then we can rejoice in what God has done. Today is a day of joy. Today is a day to celebrate. Like people who were walking in darkness are suddenly given a great light to see where they are going. He says, you have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy, they rejoice before you as with the joy at the harvest. Now, it was just a few weeks ago that we gathered together on a Thursday morning to celebrate what God had done for us, to give thanks to Him for the harvest. We had Thanksgiving Day. Those of you who were here maybe remember we talked about a photo album with different pictures in it. Things to give God thanks for. Well, today is a day to celebrate. Today is a day to give God thanks too. Maybe after church this morning, or maybe already last night, you opened some presents from your family. And you got a present from your brother or sister, or a present from mom and dad, and you said, oh, mom and dad, thank you so much. This is just what I wanted for Christmas. Well, today is a day to thank God for what He has done for us. Today is a day to spend time thanking Him for that glorious sending of Emmanuel, sending God with us. He sent His own Son to come down and dwell with His people that He might save them and bring them out of that darkness. What a wonderful reason for thanks. What a wonderful reason for praise. What a wonderful reason to celebrate today on this Christmas day. Like the celebration at harvest time, joy and rejoicing for what God has done, sending His Son down to His people. He says, for the yoke of His burden and the staff for His shoulder and the rod of His oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. Rejoicing like at harvest, but also rejoicing in the freedom that we have. These pictures that Isaiah gives us, the picture of the yoke or the staff or the rod, are all pictures of oppression, of a burden, of something that weighs us down. And Jesus Christ came to remove that burden, to remove that rod, to remove that oppression from us. He says, you have broken it as on the day of Midian. Was that victory that they had at Midian? We think back to our Old Testament history and what happened at Midian. You might remember, children, what happened there. Where God sent His man Gideon to defeat the Midianites. And if you go back and read that story in Judges, you'll see that Gideon was going to come with this huge army, almost 30,000 men. And God said, that's too many. That's too many. And God kept paring down the army and paring down the army till it was only 300 men who went up against Midian, so that it would be clear that the victory belonged to God. And then when they went to battle, they didn't even go first and fight. They just had these torches and these bowls and they broke them and the Midianites scattered. God Himself won the victory. The warriors hardly had to do a thing. God was the one who was acting. That's how we rejoice today, in what God has done to take us out of darkness, to take us out of captivity. He acted in the sending of His Son, one who would come, so the victory was clearly His. Not because of what we had done, not because of what we had offered to Him, but what God had done, sending His Son to bring victory to His people, a victory from the oppression of sin. And he says, for every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Even the instruments of war are done away with. For Jesus comes to make peace. A peace between God and man. And the instruments of war themselves are destroyed when He comes. Oh, it is a day to celebrate. It's a day to rejoice in what God has done, sending Jesus Christ, sending Emmanuel, God with us, to come and dwell with His people. We read that a child is born and a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. This would be no regular child. This would be a royal child. We read that he will reign on the throne of his father David forever. A kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. He will be a royal king. And so he is given a royal name. a name that is spelled out for us in a number of phrases here in verse 6 of Isaiah 9. He will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That was the name given to this child. And each of these names gives us a picture of what he would do. He would be Wonderful Counselor. A counselor is someone who gives wisdom, who gives insight. And Jesus Christ, this child, would come as a wonderful counselor, or a counselor whose wisdom was wonderful, was miraculous. That's exactly what he did. Jesus came and he taught his people, and they said, Matthew chapter 7, he taught as one with authority. They were amazed at what he said, for he spoke with authority. Jesus comes as the Wonderful Counselor, the one who knows what is best for his people, the one who teaches us, the one who instructs us in the ways of wisdom, in his counsel. God gives us his word to teach us how we should live, to teach us how we should walk. That is the way that Jesus uses by the power of his Spirit to counsel us, to instruct us, to direct us. That's why it's so important to spend time in the Word of God. That's why it's so important to come together for worship, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, to be instructed in God's Word. Because it is from there that we receive that wonderful counsel from the Wonderful Counselor. God sends his Son, Jesus Christ, wonderful in counsel, who knows what is best for his people and who teaches that to his people. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor. He'll be called Mighty God. And the words used here give the picture again of a warrior, one who is mighty in battle, one who is able to accomplish everything he sets out to do. Now, some kings would go to war and were unable to defeat the enemy, but Christ comes as that mighty God, that powerful warrior. He will do battle not simply with any human foes, but with Satan himself. And he defeats the power of Satan. He is the mighty God, wonderful, powerful, a warrior, able to come and to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy that hold of sin, destroy all those things that would tear us down. We are rejoicing today because of who he is. The mighty God, the powerful warrior who defeats even Satan and the power of sin itself. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father speaks of a relationship. A father is the protector of his children. He watches over them. He cares for them. Jesus Christ would come as that protector of his people, the one who cares for us like a father cares for his children. And again, how does he express that care? How does he exercise that care? He cares for us through the instruction we receive from his word. As the Holy Spirit takes that word, applies it to our hearts, to our lives, he shows his care, his concern. He comforts us. He watches over and protects us as a father protects his children. He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Jesus came to bring peace. He is the Prince of Peace, the one who rules over peace. He is the one who accomplishes peace for his people. A peace, first of all, between God and man. We have sung, God and sinners reconciled. That's what he came to do. He came to bring peace between God and man. God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. And man is fallen and sinful. And how do you reconcile those two? We were at enmity with God, enemies of God, warring against God. But
But Jesus Christ came to bring peace. Peace between a holy God and an unrighteous people. And He accomplishes that peace with His death on the cross to appease the anger of a holy, righteous God. He offers Himself. He is the Prince of Peace, one who makes peace between us and God, one who makes peace between us and ourselves. You know, sometimes we can do things in our lives and they're large things, large sins against God, and we say, I'm not sure if God can actually forgive me for this. And we're reminded that Jesus Christ came as that Prince of Peace to perfectly reconcile us, and then we know we've been forgiven by God, but we have such a hard time forgiving ourselves. And we hold things against ourselves, and we keep bringing them up in our minds. And Jesus Christ came to give us peace within ourselves, assurance of salvation, assurance that He has really paid for our sins. He has really washed and cleansed us, and we no longer have to beat ourselves up. Because He is the Prince of Peace. It is that peace that we celebrate again on this Christmas day. If there are things in your past which you have confessed to God and you know you've been forgiven, then don't hold them against yourself anymore. For Jesus Christ reigns as the Prince of Peace, reconciling us to God, reconciling us to ourselves, and making peace with those around us. He came to bring peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Peace within our relationships. Peace within the body of Christ. We are called a family. The family of God. And we know that families sometimes argue with each other, but eventually they make peace. And they live together in peace. That's God's intention. And so it is with the church too. It is intended that we live and dwell together in the peace accomplished for us by Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. We are not to hold grudges. We are not to continue to have things fester in our lives, but we're to reconcile. We've been reconciled to God, reconciled to ourselves. We are to reconcile with one another and truly celebrate the Prince of Peace coming to put His body together, the family of God, His people. That's what we celebrate today. This glorious royal child, the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and this one who calls forth rejoicing is given to us. He's given to us as a gracious gift. Notice what Isaiah says. For to you a child is born. To us a child is born. To us a son is given. Not to someone else. Not to the world out there. But to us. We have received this gracious gift from God. The angels came and they said, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You have received this gift. You have received this blessing of the one who is wonderful in counsel, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's been given to you. So that you can celebrate on this Christmas day, not just the remembrance of a baby born a long time ago, but the Son of God, Emmanuel, coming, God with us. God with us. A gift given to you. And this gift of Jesus Christ, this gift of salvation, this gift which takes us from darkness to light, is a gift which, like every gift, is meant to be shared with others. Now, kids, maybe today you'll get some special toy or something from mom and dad, and you can be sure that very quickly they'll say, now don't forget to share with your brother and sister. Gifts are meant to be shared. So too, with this glorious gift, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, given to His people the glories of salvation, being taken from darkness to light, from death to life. And yet so often we hoard this gift. We don't want to share with anybody. We keep our mouths shut. On any day, we should share the glory of what we know. We should share the glory, and especially on Christmas Day. A gift we have not earned. A gift we have not deserved. A gift given to us simply because God chooses to love us. We will truly celebrate Christmas when we share this glorious truth with those around us. That may be those in our family. That may be those at work. That may be those in our neighborhood. For those who do not know yet the true meaning of Jesus Christ, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, He has given you that gift, that knowledge, that wonderful story. Don't hoard the gift of God, but share. Share the glorious truth that you know with those whom God may put in your path. The glories of the gospel. That we were undeserving, unworthy, walking in darkness, and God, simply for His own good pleasure, chose to let His light shine upon us. And He came, Emmanuel, God with us, to guide us, to counsel us, to be our great and mighty victor, and to make peace, peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with the body of Christ. May God help us to take this passage to mind, that a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and that we share this glorious gift. If not today, then tomorrow, or in the week to come, with those around us. Let's join together in prayer. Lord God, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, that You, in the fullness of time, sent Him, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law. You sent Him as a child to be God with us, to perfectly fulfill all the Old Testament expectations, all the pictures, all the promises. You sent Your Son, Jesus, for us. May we continue to appreciate the blessing of that gift, that it was undeserved. It was not because we had done anything, but it was simply a gift of love. And as we grow in appreciation for what You have done for us, may we also grow in the desire and the willingness to share that gift with those around us, to unwrap the beauties of the gospel, perhaps to those who have never heard it before. Oh, Lord God, help us on this Christmas day truly to celebrate Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.